Today we've been talking about where is Jesus and Godfidence, and we want Godfidence in God's word. Godfidence is a word we're using that means having complete faith and confidence in God. And every day I wake up and experience his mercy, I have more confidence that he is there with me. To have Godfidence or confidence in God, we need the word of the Lord. And in the word of the Lord, we've been talking about balance. Everyone say balance. And there has to be balance because God is mysterious, but he's oh so practical. And the only reason God is mysterious to us is that we're a little behind with God. God's kind of way out there and we're way over here. And if we keep obeying, we'll catch up. Someone say amen. My old mentor used to say, John, the mystery of God is revealed through the history of God. If you read your Bible and understand the way God works with others, you'll know how he will work with you. Amen. That's good job, Pastor. You just got started. Amen. We need to discover God in science, though, because it occurred to me that in our modern day science community or the intellectual community that does research are much like the Bereans. They're out there searching for evidence. And what they sometimes wittingly or unwittingly do is they're searching for evidence of God's existence. And every time they discover it, like Einstein said, the more I study science, the more I believe in God. He says science without religion is lame and religion without science is blind. And Louis Pasteur, what would we do without his research and his faith in believing in things that you cannot see but yet are? He says, a little science estranges man from God, but much science leads them back to him. Let the church say, amen. He wants you to trust him. God wants you to obey. He doesn't want you to obey him because he's insecure. Now, that's sometimes as a way he's presented. Obey God. You work fearfully around him. No, he doesn't want you to be weird around him. He wants you to respect him and respect that he knows a few things. Tell somebody, God knows a few things. God knows a few things. So he requires obedience because he cares about us. He cares about us. I obey God because I believe that he loves me. How about you? And because I believe God loves me, I believe he wants what's best for me. By obeying God's word in time, I begin to understand God. Then I obey because it what? Makes sense. It just makes sense. But we, like our children, those of your parents in the room, say amen. Remember, you told your kids things that you couldn't quite explain when they were 2 or 3 years old. Giving them an explanation would have been useless for where they were in their development. But if they did them, did it prosper them? Yes, it did. Why? Because I love my children. And God loves you. How many believe the Lord loves you? Say it loud. Ready? Now give God a hand. Amen. Whoever's going to do that. Give him a hand. This morning, we're going to delve into two types of words. Well, there are two types of words. We're going to go with both of them. But there are two Greek words for the word. Rhema, meaning the spoken word. It's used 70 times in the New Testament. And the logos word, that's the written word that I have on today. I have on the logos word declaring what's happening in my life. That's used 330 times in the word of God. Today, we're going to emphasize the power of the logos. The power of the written word. Everyone say logos. Everybody say write it down. They even said when you write down your dreams and purposes that you have more of an impulse to do them. That you 30 to 40% will do them more if you don't write them down at all. Someone say amen. Someone say a honey-do list. Yeah, when that it gets done. When I get one, it gets done. But here it is. Let's stand up on our feet. Fix our eyes on Jesus, and let's read some scripture. 2 Timothy 3:15. Are you ready? Say, yes, Lord. Say it like a southerner. Yes, Lord. Ready. From infancy, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I want to be ready to do anything good that God requires. Let us declare the miracle of abundant life. Lord, I now relinquish all grievances, resentments, and regrets, and I choose the miracle. Let's stretch out our hands as science has taught us in the Word, and let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Give him praise as you're sitting down. Declare it so. Are you ready? Say it. Ready? There's more power in one word from God than all the power of the enemy combined. Amen? Right on. For the Bible says that the word of God is alive and it's active. It is alive and active in us, working through us, motivating us, moving us. That's why it's important that anyone who is teaching the word to you must have a heart of love and of holiness, meaning purity of motivation. They must desire that the best in your life should happen. Or else they teach you things that will destroy you. There is no more powerful idea than religion on the face of the earth. That's why, generally, for political reasons, you can't send a person someplace to blow themselves up. But for religious reasons and God, you certainly can. So it is important that because the word is active and alive, it's important that the one who teaches it or the one who carries this is full of the love of God. For he says, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels and I have not love, what good am I? It is a dangerous thing to have something so powerful but yet be so careless. And one of the things I want you to grab hold to onto this morning, that there are unimaginable, unbelievable power in the way that you think and speak. Amen. How many believe it so? Say God bless you to your neighbor. Amen. Exercise some power. Because the Bible says for us, Jesus is the word of God. For Hebrews 10:7 says that Jesus said, here am I, it is me, written in the scroll. I have come to do the will of the Lord. Jesus says the book is written about me and I've come to do the will of God. And the will of God is that none of you should perish, but every one of you have an opportunity to live and live your best self. Someone say amen to that. Say, I want to live my best self. Jesus died, but also he died for others to do that too. That's why we have to keep taking the gospel around the world and preaching the gospel so others in places that have not had the opportunities that you have may have opportunities that you have and can realize their full potential in God, like you great American people. Someone say amen. For Jesus is the scripture. And from infancy, Paul was speaking to his protege, Timothy. He said, from infancy, you have known these scriptures. You have known Jesus. Somebody say, I know Jesus. You have known Jesus, and because you know the word and you know Jesus, it makes you wise. It makes you smart. It makes you clever. It gives you insight into things that others cannot see. It gives you oversight of things that others cannot control. But because of God, you are able to do it. He will make you unique and peculiar like you can never imagine or believe. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a peculiar person. Right on. Everybody say it real loud. Say it real loud. Say, I need wisdom for my life. Say it with me. Say, I need Jesus. Say it loud again. Right on. Say, I need Jesus more than I need coffee. Amen. Though sometimes it don't feel that way. I certainly need him more than I need coffee. I need God's word living and active in my life. And guess what? I need the power of God's word moving through me, man, making it happen every day of my life. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul says, for it is the power of God unto those that are being saved. Look at your neighbor and say, baby, you're being saved. Baby, you're being saved. The word saved means in the Greek sozo, which means deliverance, or deliverance means to release from bondage or imprisonment, preservation, healing, soundness, liberation from captivity. That's good stuff. That's cool stuff. I like liberation. I like soundness. I don't like being in prison. I like being free. Salvation does not mean that one is perfect. However, it does mean that one has been forgiven. Say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. And this is a friendly reminder for all you inhabitants of the planet Earth. Salvation is a decision that only applies to life here on Earth, not in heaven. When you get to heaven, you're not being saved. It's done. Salvation is about right now. That's why he gives you mercy new every morning, because right now is when I need to be saved. Right now I have to make decisions that will save me. What do I do that is compatible with where God is taking me? How do I think about them? How do I come to a place where I reason what they are? Amen. That's awesome, isn't it? Look at somebody and say, I'm saved. Well, you better get to work. Some of you get on a sign corner and say, I will work for salvation. Amen. For the scripture says this, continue the work to work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling, for God who works in you to act and to will in order to fulfill his good purpose in you. Amen. Salvation requires effort. Right on. It's just like the gifts of the Spirit. Someone said, hey, Pastor, you know all those gifts of the Spirit? Why don't we see more miracles? I said, first of all, you're pronouncing it the wrong way. It's the working of miracles, and there's your answer. Miracles require work. And sometimes we want the easy button. But everybody in life realizes, no, it ain't the easy button. I had to get over that. There's no easy button. I got to get up, and I've got to decide. Because a no decision is a decision. So I get up and I decide to take ownership of my life and let the power of God through his word come alive in me and do his thing. Somebody say it loud, Lord, do your thing in me. Somebody say, just do it. Tell somebody this. Ready? Practice makes perfect. Right on. The Bible says, be a doer of the word, James says. Because he's struggling with the church and everybody, the super religious people that want everything to just be symbolic faith. Paul James says, listen, your faith, if it does not do anything that's of any value, then it's no good. You need to have evidence that you believe in something greater and mightier than you, and that his intention is to save everything around him. And the only way people will know that is if you're out there saving everything around you. So be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And guess what? You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Not only that, for the kingdom of God is not only words. It's just not passive words or just philosophical thought. It is power. It is practice. It is happening. Look at somebody and say, it's happening, girl. It's happening, boy. Right on. Say this real loud, everybody. Each day, I need to let God's word interrupt me, rearrange me, and redirect me. Amen, amen. But I've got a question for you. Here's the question is this. Is there really power to change me in God's word? Is there really power for change? And of course, the Bible says, I read this to you earlier, that the word is alive and the word is active, powerful thoughts. But Paul went on to say, it's really amazing that he would think this way, but he did. Remember, he's a first century guy extolling to you modern ideas that maybe he didn't quite understand. But he said this word of God that he's come to understand is Jesus himself is quick and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So guess what? It's going to cut. It's going to get there. And you know what it does? It divides between the soul and the spirit. In other words, it brings spiritual healing to you. It brings your mind and your intellect and God's mind and intellect together. And it brings you into agreement on, you know what? I should forgive. It's good for me to forgive. You know what, Lord? I should help out. It's good for me to help out. It just makes good sense. I want to say spiritual healing. Not only that, he talks about physical healing, joint and marrow. And those of you who know the medical community, you know joints and marrow are critical to us. In a last-ditch effort, when your body is just overwhelmed with immunity deficiencies, you get a bone marrow transplant. Why? Because it produces the cells and the antibodies for the cells that fight disease in your body. And here's a first century guy saying, guess what? The word of God will get into the very place where your defending cells come alive. Someone say, amen. for physical healing. Also, the Word of God judges your thoughts and your attitudes of your heart. In other words, it gives you inner healing. It gives you the ability to live with yourself. And the man that wrote this, well, it's debated whether he wrote it or not, but the reality is that Paul had inner problems, inner healing problems. He warred with himself, just like many of us who came in warring with our past this morning because we had to go back in order to feel maybe a little bit better because we get a bit addicted to that. But guess what? We're moving forward because I have inner healing this morning. Amen. But let's look at the God and science of this. The God and science. Does the written word truly have power? Does it really have power? That's a big yes. If simple, artistic, creative, beautiful descriptive thoughts and words, they do have power. Anybody ever had someone say something to you you didn't expect and it changed your whole day? Ever had that happen? Ever give somebody a compliment and it seemed like they lit up? Amen. Remember when I talked to you last week about some of the signs of people that believe in Jesus, that one of them is that they're great encouragers. They cast out demons. Amen. People who are full of light and smiles and positive, they cast out demons. That's really what casting out demons is. You can come in and cast out demons and even know it happens. I know your visual of demons are the exorcists and stuff. That's a lie. That's somebody that is just taking too much time with somebody that needs meds. Amen. I'm sorry, I said that out loud. They just need to take their meds. I don't care if your head spin around. Take your meds. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah, baby. Now go to sleep. Right on. All this stuff, it's Halloween time. So all these dumb movies, they're just an exaltation of darkness and evil. And how, it's a lie. It's not that powerful. Jesus diffused all that at the cross. If it once that powerful, it's not anymore. You guys walk around here in peace and joy. You don't feel threatened by anything. You have to make movies to make yourself afraid. What do you think about how advanced you are, where you're at? Know where you're at, then you know where you're going. The word has changed the world. The Gutenberg Press, everybody knows that it moved the word around the world, transformed the world. The Magna Carta and its ideas of free societies and government, it changed the world, changed our constitution. These are words that have shaped the world and still shape the world to this day. But the question is there supernatural power in the word? Tell somebody this. Ready? Yes. Be washed by the word of God. Say it with me. Be washed by the word of God. That's what the supernatural power of the word is. Here we go. For the scripture says this in Ephesians 5:26. Because you can be cleansed by the water of the word of God. It says that he might sanctify her. Now, this is interesting scripture because really it's talking about marriage. And it's talking about the power of the word in the most intimate and life-giving of relationships. The partnership of husband and wife. And it's reinforcing to the husband on how he can be effective as a husband like Jesus. And he says to the husband that this is your job. You have to love her like Jesus loved the church. Wow, really? Yeah. He laid down his life for her. Well, was she a good church? Sometimes she's good, sometimes she's not. But you love her anyway. Well, what if it was her that hung me on the cross? Hang on the cross and die for her and let the church say, amen. Because that's against our male nature. But I'm not going to pick on you boys this morning. I know you're here and the football game is on and you're still here in church. Amen. It'll be okay. But he's reinforcing to them that this is how you love her, and you love her with the washing of your words. And this was taken from the marital bath that a husband was required to give his wife after 9 months of an espousal, where they set up a home together and didn't consummate the relationship. They would pay bills together. They would build a house together. They would make things happen together, except for sex. They wouldn't have sex. And then when the night came for the big celebration and the wine and the party and everything, then that was the night they were to consummate the relationship. The requirement for the husband was this, was to give his wife a bath. Because it would be the first time that she would probably be seen by someone other than her parents naked. And so she comes in with a visual of insecurity. Everyone say insecurity. All of us are insecure. Certainly we are. And so he's speaking to the husband saying, you're the only one in this relationship that can take away every insecurity that she may have had from the time that she was a little girl. You're the only one with your words in this moment who can come in and take the time and wash her in the water of the Word of God. And the requirement was to speak words of life, to tell her she was beautiful, to tell her all the plans that they were going to do and where we're going to go and how we're going to be and what about children? How many children should we have? And actually have a conversation. Amen. And in that moment, he gives you a visual of a patient, loving friend who has every intent to enjoy the partnership with you, but has the patience to respect where you're at right now. He says, wash her in the water of the Word of God, and you have the power to cleanse people of insecurities. Did you know that? You have the power to look into the eyes of your children and speak life into them in that morning and change the entire course of their life. If it was not for meaningful adults who took time with me, I always refer to Sister McMurray, who took time with me when she saw that I was straying. And it was just a few words that I can recap from her that changed the direction of my life. She washed me in the water of the Word of God at the right time of my life. And that's why I'm where I'm at today. Amen. Say there's power in the Word. But you have to understand the symbolism of the Word. He's saying that the Word of God is water. It's a cleansing thing. He who believes in me, as Scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers. Everyone say rivers. Rivers of living water. Rivers of living Word. Rivers of life. Purifying, cleansing, taking things away, leaving things that should stay. Amen. Dr. Emoto did some research about the power of words using water. A Japanese scientist named Dr. Emoto made a series of tests, discovered both positive and negative words can have an influence on the water's structure. During his study of the water, Emoto came to a belief that water was so-called blueprint of our reality, and our emotional energy and vibrations can change the physical structure of water or change the molecules. Now, here's some things to think about. Now, if this research is altogether true, this is what I want you to consider. One, adults' bodies are about what? Water. So if you're 60% water, that part of you is going to be affected more than any other part of you, right? Well, let's get more specific. The brain and the heart are composed of what? 73%. My brain and heart. Absolutely, Chris.
I just got that.
Good you're from the class of 78. Good one. All right. But imagine that. So your brain and heart is even more water in its composition. And let's think of this one. Your lungs are what? 83%. That's why, you know, if someone loves you and they could say something that could take your breath away, right? Literally, figuratively, and literally. Because 83% of your lungs is water. But here's one that is pretty critical. A baby is 78% water its first year. And then that is reduced to 65% water. So when you're a little baby, and sociologists have proven that pretty much they have been shaped by the age of two, the direction they're going to go in, the way they perceive life, their negative, their positives, all these things by the age two. And this is why preschool teachers and things, they get them and it's like, well, what am I going to do? It's like, boy, I don't know. Parenting is so important. Words of life are so important. And some of you are doing a fantastic job with your kids. You know, I'm going to rehearse this afternoon. The majority of the people in the Christmas show are under the age of 25. They're your children. They're here. They're devoted. And that's because of you. And it's because of what you've poured into them since they were little people, because they were valuable. And even though you didn't understand that, you were altering the molecules of their body because they were 70-80% water at childbirth, and then later on they were 65%. And every time you said something good, it was helping them, even though they didn't know it was helping them. Give yourself a big praise offering. Amen for good kids. There you go. Right on. You got good kids. Got good kids. Dr. Moldo's rice experiments were even more intriguing, and this is what they were. Scientifically analyzed two different batches of water crystals. Each was subjected to negative and positive sound waves controlled by a random experience. One batch was talked to in a loving, positive way. The other batch, not so nice, angry thoughts. And Dr. Moldo's experiment concluded that negativity produced negative vibes and positivity produced good vibes. We've always believed that, but no one's ever proved it scientifically. His proof was the formation of water crystals under a microscope. And this is what you see. How many ever seen a snowflake before? That snowflakes are they can't explain why snowflakes are artistic. They actually have pictures of artificial snowflakes and real snowflakes. And with our artificial snow, we cannot create intelligent design. But with real snowflakes, every one of them have an artistic design, just like you see the word love or the word thank you. In the book of Job, God tells Job, do you know where the treasury of where snowflakes and snow is created? In other words, there's an intelligence and there's a reason and there's a way that things were designed and made. Amen? And it's telling you now that you can see it with your own eyes. Look at I hate you. Chaotic. A mess. So we want to speak words of life. Showing the power of the written word, he placed a portion of cooked rice in containers. One container he wrote, thank you. On the other one he wrote, you fool. The third container was ignored. It was the control experiment. Then he instructed school children to say to the labels on the jar out loud every day when they passed by them. And they would say, I hate you or I love you. And after 30 days, the rice in the containers with positive thoughts had barely changed, while the others were moldy and rotten. And this is what the experiment concluded. Can you see that? 27 days later, the structure in the water in the rice was altered by words. Now, one skeptic guy, he was pretty funny. He took $50 out of his bank account and said he decided to see the experiment worked himself. So he brought a case of brand new mason jars, washed them up, and put in air dried them for 14 days. Then he cooked jasmine rice and placed them in these four jars. He'll avoid the metal contamination. He scooped the rice with a bamboo spoon, and he placed the jars in a soon-to-be dark bedroom. Each jar was spaced about a foot away from each other and further eliminating a confirmation of bias. He capped each of the jars with plastic lid. But I want you to make a note of something. He did one extra thing. He had half the jars vacuum sealed. So keep that in mind for the end of these thoughts. Every day, he equally rotated the jars one time a day, and he would smile and mutter and say words like, I love you, on the behalf of the smiley face. And then he would scream, I hate you, to the other half batch with the sad face. He repeated this ritual every day for 30 days last winter. And this is what he found. He was stunned and shocked because within 4 days, his angry rice had already begun to rapidly turn an ugly color. Days later, it was turning chalky black. Fast forward to 26 days, the experiment spooked him a bit because the nice rice turned a vibrant color and the angry rice turned nasty green simply because of the words that were labeled on it, simply because of the intention of the person that was speaking to the rice. Tell somebody to say it right away. Is it true? Yes, it does. Words matter. This is what the Bible says about this. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Amen. Look at their neighbor and say, you're beautiful. You're awesome. You're cool. I like that outfit. Or I'll learn to like it. Amen. Whatever Bible says about science, scientifically, it is correct. Amen. But let's talk about those vacuum sealed jars. Because he found an extra thing that happened, which proves that the presence of God is important for your life. His surprise discovery was this, that at the same time, the nice and angry rice and the were totally unchanged in the vacuum-sealed jars. This tells us that air is a good carrier for vibes, whether good or bad, and the lack of air had absolutely no effect on the outcome. Wow. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. There is a scripture that says it this way, for Satan lives in the power of the air. Of the airwaves. You have the authority to change the environment that you're in with your words. You have the power, because greater is he that is in you than the prince of the power of the air. Someone say amen. And I have God's presence with me. Even better yet, praise the Lord. Science confirms the Bible. Everyone say amen. Give God praise. Now, on November 19th, we're going to further do some experimentation with the Word of God and how it impacts you. And I've got an example. I'm going to call it White Out Sunday or Wear the Word Sunday. Now, the youth came to me after youth convention last week, and they talked to different adults, and they were looking forward to youth convention 2018. Solomon, Peyton, where are you guys? Where are you at? Esther, you guys coming up here. Come and join me. Come and join me on the stage here. Cadence, here's my team, Esther, Tegan, where are we at? Now, after the youth convention, we were inspired. That was good. You weren't there. No, you were the other one, though. Remember the time we had down in Orlando? Mm-hmm. We were at the altar, screaming and praising and just, but did that change your life? Yeah, it changed my life, too. And I mean, I get lost in the praise and worship at youth convention. I just go, put a hat on, and just get lost. And so when they're at youth convention this time, they have about 28, 29 kids that went, but they have a goal for next year, and their goal for next year is 50 youth they want to go. They want to be able to pre-purchase the tickets, have the tickets ready, so that they can even say to kids that can't afford it, you're going, because I'm going to let you go. How many think that's a good idea? But it takes money to do that, and the kids want to raise the money. That's what Peyton told me. Peyton said, we want to raise the money. I want to figure it out. Him and Solomon said, I'll be in the hallway every Sunday. I'm going to make popcorn. I'm going to sell things because I believe in this goal, and I believe that should happen. So we're going to springboard them with White Out Sunday or Wear the Word Sunday that's coming up, and you're going to get a chance to buy one of these very cool T-shirts that were designed by my son here, Solomon. Good job, Solomon. Right on. Now, here's the deal. Those of you who want short sleevers, come on, Peyton's got a short sleeve. He's got redeemed. The base of all the T-shirts is love, because the love is the base of everything, because love never fails. And from love, all these other beautiful things like being blessed and being healed, that's where it comes from. And so Peyton and Solomon will be in the hallway to take checks or take orders. If you don't have money today, they'll take your order and say, not paid, and we'll order the shirt on time. So you lay away, right? But $15 for the short sleeve shirts. For long sleeve, they're $20. XL is $17.22. XXX, $18.23. So those are available. And those of you who want to create your own shirt, like me, I created my own shirt. It costs a little more money, but the kids get a little more money. If you want to create your own shirt, something really cool, but the goal is that the shirt has to be white. Mike, you must have got the memo. He's got the white sweatshirt on. There it is. It's going to be White Out Sunday. Now, what we're going to believe in that Sunday is this. If it's true that if I can wear it, I can be it, that it can alter me, I'm going to believe that our collective faith and energy in the room that Sunday, and you should come with expectation. You should come with things thought through or things written down and anticipate the presence of the God in a new and unique way for this novel endeavor that our young people are purposing to do. So those, I want you to keep in mind, the kids will be out in the hallway ready to take your order. Would you stand with me because we're going to pray? Did you learn anything this morning? How's your faith? Your faith good. Now, one of the God science things that we learned that Paul was right in 2 Timothy 2:8, that body language matters in prayer. So we've been putting it to the test. So we're going to dismiss in prayer, and we're going to do it for 120 seconds because it says that power positions, but just actually changing your position from what it is when you're about to pray to acknowledge, I'm about to pray, will greatly change your confidence and boldness about coming before the Lord. For the Bible says, come before him with boldness, receiving grace and mercy for the moment that you're in. So find your power pose. Some of you are Wonder Man or Wonder Woman. I don't know. Find your power pose. Close your eyes. Get rid of all the other stuff. Those who pray in a spirit, because last week in God Science, they proved that people who pray in tongues are more sane than people who do not. I don't mean nothing by it, but just for the record, people who have been praying in tongues most of their life, they've been told that they're a little crazy by their family members. So I had to let them feel better about themselves, and science proves that there's something really going on there. They did research on that as well. If you want to pull up these sermons, they're all online, they're all on podcast, they're ready to go, and they are a lot of fun. Get them, listen to them, and build up your faith. Jim, is the clock ready? Tongue talker, start now. Here's the clock is going. Hallelujah. Fill it up, guys. If you pray in the spirit and understanding, pray the Lord's Prayer. How many times can you pray it in 120 seconds? There's collective power in corporate prayer. Your intentions that God would be magnified, for I come to the hills where comes my strength. Where are they? They come from the Lord, for he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He knows my need before I ask. He knows my down sitting and uprising. He knows my frame. I was fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and likeness of God. Oh, where can I go from the presence of the Lord? If I make my bed in hell, he's there with me. If I'm having good days, he's there with me. No matter where I go, where matter where I am in my mind or in my world, God is with me and he will never forsake me. For David said, I would have fainted if I did not know that God would not answer me and supply for me in the land of the living. That's what salvation is. Salvation is that I believe God can and will. I go out and act as God can and will. And as I move by faith and not by sight, God will do what he promised. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Praise God. My incision feels better already. Amen. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. 18 seconds, sing it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Say it with me. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life. I believe he made a decision. He went to the cross, died for all humanity. I believe on the third day, the Father brought him back to life again. I believe the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave now lives in me, empowering me to do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of my Father in heaven. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's perfect, sometimes it's okay, but it's always Jesus. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, and everybody say, Amen.